Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, oh, hey, na, 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 hey, na, na, na.
Welcome to another show of Human Design on the Air. Greetings to America and the world. This is Peter Rowe from loveyourhumandesign.com, and I welcome you on this Saturday. Beautiful, bright Saturday here in New England. A little bit on the cooler side. Fall / winter is definitely here. But I welcome you to the show, and we should have a great show today. Today we are going to be talking about human design, and we're going to be talking about the center called the throat. And specifically, we're going to be talking about the open throat. And the open throat is where you have undefined energy in the throat. And some people emailed me, do I have an open throat? And the way that you can tell is if you look at your human design chart, and you look at this square that is the rectangle that is right in the throat area, that is the throat. And if it is white, then you have an open throat. If it's colored in, then you have a defined throat. And again, with human design, where things are colored in, you're going to have a consistent energy, you're going to have a consistent experience. And where they're white, you're going to have an inconsistent experience with that energy. And so today presents an interesting challenge for me because my co-host, Reverend Rick of RevRick.webs.com, cannot be here. He had a he's teaching a class today, and I have an open throat. In fact, the blow up on my blog post, if you haven't been out there, and if you haven't, you may want to take a look at it because we'll be looking at some charts there today. But there's a blow up of the or a very focused in view of the throat area. And that happens to be from my chart. I have no energy off of the throat. And so what that means is that I can amplify energy. And if Reverend Rick was here, I could be amplifying his energy. But he's not. So I'm hoping you will call in. But before I get to that, if you want to go out to the blog post, again, it's loveyourhumandesign.com. And on the right-hand side, click on Peter's blog in the gold letters there. And once you get there, click on the Open Throat article or the snowflake there as part of the article, and that will bring it up. And what I'm speaking of right is right at the top in the article. It's a close-in or a blown-up diagram of the throat area, and we'll be talking about this throughout the day today here on the show. And if you're not looking at your chart, or if you don't have your chart, you can go to loveyourhumandesign.com, and right at the top on the right-hand side, get your free human design chart. You click on that, you enter your name, your birth information, and within a couple of days, I can get you out a free chart. Unfortunately, I'm not coordinated enough to run charts while I'm doing the show, but I will try to get those out to you sometime by Monday at the latest, and you can take a look at your design. But as I said, we're going to talk about the open throat, and the open throat is a quandary, as I write in my blog post, because in human design, if you're looking at your chart or you look at a chart, there's some charts there on the page if you don't happen to have yours that you can scroll down to. In human design, all of the energy is trying to get to the throat because the throat center is all about expression. So the energy is trying to work its way to the throat to be expressed. Now, again, expression can be through words. It can be through song. It can be through dance. And all kinds of things. There's all kinds of expression, facial gestures. Architects, when they submit a plan. That's an expression. So expression is all kinds of things, not just words. But if you have an open throat, then you will at times struggle to make that expression, whatever that is, whether that's an architectural drawing or plan, whether that's a birdhouse that you're building, you know, because that's an expression. But you'll struggle to make that or have that come out cohesively at times because there's an inconsistency of the energy. Remember, human design is the circuitry that's represented here. The lines are just like wiring in a car or in a electrical wiring in a house. And if you're missing a segment, what that means is that that expression can't always get there in the moment. It can't always get right to the right to be expressed. So people that have defined throats, if you look at their design, they're gonna be able to get that energy where those lines connect to the throat center. They're going to be able to get that type of expression out immediately because there's a direct connection. Yet people with undefined throats, like myself, it may take a little time for that to formulate, for that energy to coalesce and bubble up to the throat. And I have a caller out on the line, so I'm going to bring them on to the show. You're on the air with Human Design. Is
Hi.
That you, Michelle?
No, it's Barb.
It's Barb, okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Barb.
Hi. How are you, Peter?
I'm good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I thought, well, I'll join you with my defined throat.
Thank you. Thank you for contributing your defined throat. I thought you might be Michelle because you showed up with all ones in the phone number, and sometimes that happens on overseas calls, but I guess you're international, so...
Right.
Perhaps that's. I guess you're the one today.
I'm the one. The one, 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 one.
Lots of ones. Lots of
mm-hmm,
ones.
Mm-hmm.
But Barb, you have. Don't some of your children have open throats?
Let me just think. No, actually, I think they're both of them have defined throats, which is probably good. They need to be heard around me. I think I just have one sister who has an undefined throat, and she communicates really well with writing, but certainly in our family with a more defined throat, she had some challenges being heard. Especially growing up and you know, wanting to make her point. She definitely had some challenges with that.
So is this the one that's the writer?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense, and we're gonna talk more about that. Writing, you know, really performing arts in a way are one mechanism for the open throat, and I say performing arts because I'm talking about writing, I'm talking about singing, I'm talking potentially about acting.
Mm-hmm.
Because what all those mediums do is they allow the open throat to have time to sort of coalesce that energy or coalesce the expression that's brewing, really, in the other areas of the chart that can't just pop out. And so I think one thing that you may see is that artists, singers, or stage actors, or writers, it's going to be a little bit hard to tell because the process is not immediate, but the writers that are really potentially good at impromptu type of on-the-spot performances are more likely probably to be defined throats because they have that direct wiring to the expression.
It's interesting that you say that, too, because Meredith, you know, has had a couple of books published, and she actually writes pretty much has the whole book written in her head before she ever puts it down. And and she is not good at impromptu. She's found that, you know, that is a very stressful medium for her, or milieu for her. But she's got this amazing ability to sort of put everything together and sort it all out and have it written completely. And then she almost never changes anything she's written.
She sort of does the editing all. It all comes together inside.
Exactly, before it's expressed out. Mm-hmm.
And that's gonna be more common with the open throat. Now again, there's so much variation in design that there's some other circumstances. For example, I have a client that she has a multiple split definition, and she does have energy to the throat. But again, for her, when she is put on the spot, it's a little bit difficult for her to assimilate all her information together in the moment, because again she's having to overcome the splits in her circuitry. The wiring's not all connected. She does have some energy directly to the throat, but not all of it is wired directly to the throat. So again, if you look at your design, if you have an undefined throat, then, you know, this is exactly what we're talking about. If you have a defined throat, and that's where that rectangle at the throat area is colored in, look at your circuitry. Look at the lines that connect to that. And if you have, for example, multiple centers, and all those lines connect, it's sort of like the little kids puzzle that you do in grade school where you have to trace the lines. And if you can trace all those lines and they're all colored in without picking up your pencil, then that you probably have a single definition. And that means that all of that energy, whether it's coming from the root, whether it's coming from the sacral, whether it's coming from the solar plexus or the spleen or the will center or the identity center, but all of it, if it's all wired together, it can come out right away for the most part. But if there's splits, if there's gaps that you have to lift your pencil as you're tracing those lines, those colored in lines, then when you have splits, there's gaps in the wiring, essentially, and that's going to take more of this time of coalescing to get your true voice out, to get all of your expression out. You know, because our expressions can be rather complex. And if you're thinking about your design, I mean, most of us have about 20 to 22 gates and between 0 to 9 defined centers. And we have a profile. And we have a type. All of those have voices of expression within our design. And so you think about all that trying to come together. When it has direct wiring, it's going to come out quickly, or can come out quickly and cohesively. And when it's not wired together, it may come out in pieces, or it may come out after sitting and fermenting or coalescing for a while. Hmm. So what do you think of that, Barb?
Oh, I think that's so very interesting. And I guess it depends, too, on where it's coming from, what other centers, which is kind of intriguing.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I had a really interesting epiphany as I was working on the blog post yesterday about the singer Sarah McLachlan. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that in a little bit. I don't want to go there quite yet. What I'd like to talk about now is some characteristics. Before we start into this discussion, I want to make sure that you understand whether you have a defined throat or an open throat, they all have a purpose. And how your throat's defined or undefined, there's purpose in all of it. And so I want to make sure that I couch this next section in the fact that there are some shadow sides, some tougher stuff about having an open throat. But that doesn't mean it's bad to have an open throat. Because as you'll see later in the show, the open throat is incredibly gifted. And the open throat can be incredibly expressive. And the defined throat is incredibly gifted. So there's nothing negative or positive here. There are some shadow sides, and there are some gifts. But with the open throat, if you think about it, so a child is born into the world with an open throat, and they begin to communicate. And one of the first things that happens to children is they, well, not the first thing, but as they're growing up, is they go to school and they're in groups of kids. And when the groups of kids are sitting around or standing around and people are sharing, Barb, who would you guess gets the floor most of the time? Ah. Barb?
Yeah.
Your microphone popped off. That was weird.
Well, what happened? I stepped on my telephone.
Okay.
I got off the line.
So I don't know if you heard my question.
No, I'm sure.
Got a group of children, as they grow up, they go to school, they're standing around or sitting on the playground, for example. Who do you think gets to speak most of the time? The defined throats or the open throats?
Oh, I would think the open throats. I mean the defined throats, sorry. The defined throats would be speaking most of the time.
And that's true, because what happens is it's just energy. And so the defined throats start to speak, or one of the defined throats in that group starts to speak, and an open throat tries to interject their comment, and a lot of times what happens is they're just ignored. Or they're actually not heard at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because the open, again, this is just energy. It's not personal. And if you have an open throat, I am sure you have had this happen to you, that you're in a group of people, and every time there's a break in the conversation, you start to speak and somebody else starts to speak. And guess what? They listen to the other person. It's like it's almost like you're not even there. And again, it's just energy, because the group is recognizing the defined throats. And as it goes around the group, different people are going to chip in their idea. And if you're patient with the open throat, eventually you'll get a chance to speak. Now, maybe recess is going to be over, and it's not going to be until lunchtime, using that child scenario. But you will get a chance to speak. And the beauty of working in this patience, and again, this is going to pull in high-level stuff, your type, your strategy for your type. So if you're a generator, if you wait for that chance and you wait for that chance to respond, you're going to be heard much better. More people are going to listen to you, because your energy is now recognized. And if you're a generator with an open throat and you just burst in there, there's one gap in the conversation and you burst in there, and maybe you even get some recognition because you burst in right before a defined throat starts talking. But that defined throat starts talking, and now you're not recognized anymore. And now, even though you're talking louder, you're not being heard, because energetically you're not com- completely following your design, your type. You weren't at the right time to make that response. Or if you're a projector, it's even a little bit more frustrating, I guess, or it could make you bitter, the theme of the projector. The projector, you're with an open throat, you're going to be heard much better if you're invited to speak. And in the throat, 8 out of the 11 gates that connect, 8 of the 11 channels here to the throat are projected. And so that means that speaking is much more an invited thing. So even if you're a generator, with an open throat, you're going to be heard better if you're invited to speak. Not just responding, but invited. So because of this quandary, the open throats can resort to some tactics, some characteristics here. And staying with the school idea, one of those is the teacher's up in the front of the room and there's a group of children. And she poses a question. What's 3 plus 3? And the defined throat raises their hand. And the open throat raises their hand, is waving their hand back and forth, maybe going, oh, 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 oh. You all know this kid or kids?
Yes.
And what this is this is the open throat trying to draw attention to themselves. Because they're trying to make up for the lack of energy. The teacher, I would love to see a study of this, but I'm guessing that in a classroom, the teachers probably call on the defined throats who raise their hands more often than they call on the open throats. Because the teacher's just recognizing, oh, that child has the energy to speak right away, on demand. The teacher's putting it out there. I'd love to see a study on this, Barb.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. Because even when you think back about your experiences in school and you know, the whole opportunity of speaking and who did get recognized all the time. I know I was recognized a lot. And, you know, just the opportunity to express yourself, it's almost reinforced. It is reinforced. And then you've got somebody who's got their hand up and rarely gets recognized and how, you know, it just kind of, it must be almost a shutdown thing. So it'll be interesting to hear what you say about coping. Coping with that.
And I'd love to see a study that would compare the teachers calling on that on demand versus the teachers like looking at something like a project, you know, in deciding who to call up. Because, you know, here you have the project. That really should level the field a bit.
Right.
Because it gives those children with the open throats time to coalesce that information.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, on that topic of the kid going, oh, 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 I had an open throat, but I wasn't one of those kids. I would just pretty much, I put my hand up, and I wasn't a hand waver either. My recollection anyway is that I got called on fairly, I felt like fairly equally, but I had some friends who were hand wavers and OOO people, and I felt like they got called on less.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I don't know whether it was the teachers trying to discourage that behavior or, in a way, they're recognizing that that's phony energy in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're drawing attention to themselves, and it's because it's compensation, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying I have energy that I don't have. But I'm not knocking it. it's definitely a mechanism of being recognized. And as we get older and get out of school, there's other mechanisms that the open throat uses. With women, I think it's potentially dress. If a woman has a really vibrant or attention-drawing scarf or hat, and they always do this, I'd say there's probably good odds that they have an open throat, and that expression is something that they've learned to draw attention to themselves to get the opportunity to be invited to speak. And it's a bit more subtle than the kid in the seat that's waving their hand and, oh. Or it can
definitely
be. It can be just as, I'm sure we probably have friends that, you know, not only have the scarf, but they dress loudly all the time.
See me. Hear me.
See me. I need to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's nothing wrong with that. And some of those people that dress that way, it really is just part of their expression. And so I would say to you, if that's you, take a look at what, is that just attention drawing to be recognized, or is that part of your expression? And the challenge I'd put to you is, so if it is you, but it's a little bit over the top, if you toned it down, would you be recognized and would you be heard in a deeper level? And Barb, to some degree, I feel like we've had this conversation on one of the other shows.
Hmm.
I think we had this conversation on the Defined and Undefined show.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something along these lines.
Well, I know that it's just interesting because I'm just thinking about Nina and about how she always looks so attractive and pulled together, and she has an undefined throat, and she is definitely not over the top. I think people notice her partly because of the way that she dresses, but then she has, she just has a confidence and I think is tapping into some of her other gifts there, some of her other defined areas in order to be heard from that point on. But it's like she's been seen, and people feel that warmth, and she's invited, and she's able to use some of her other human design styles and, just strengths, I suppose. I don't remember having this conversation, but, that's that open head.
Both of us.
Yeah, la la la.
But it's interesting that you mentioned Nina, because she has been, for those of you who don't know Nina, Reverend Nina Rowe is my wife and founder and runs angelsteach.com and teaches people about their intuition and talking to their angels. And, she strictly follows her guidance from her angels, and her angels have been working very closely with her for probably the last year or year and a half on the way she dresses. And, part of that probably is she has a very open throat as well. And so part of that is to solidify, to not be over the top, but to basically to solidify that recognition so that she has the opportunity to speak, because once she has that recognition and the opportunity to speak, as she's speaking, people really start to get the value of what she has to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I certainly know, I'm not knocking anybody, because I certainly know that I have done flamboyant things in my growing up to get attention to be recognized, to get attention to speak. One of my tools was sports, and that's You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, actually. How much of my trying to excel at sports is me, and how much of that part of that is the open throat, trying to get recognized?
Hmm.
And that's, you know, that's sort of an interesting mental exercise for me to think about. You know, and I know part of it, I have such a passion for playing sports, that I know a good part of it is just that when I play sports, I want to be competitive and I want to do well. And I used to want to win all the time. Now it's more about if I play well, I'm mostly satisfied. There's still a little bit of me that wants to win, too. But,
well, you know, I was thinking, Peter, too, about how having a defined throat and becoming more aware of human design over the last couple of years, that it's made me more aware of people, you know, just in a conversation or in a group that probably do have an undefined throat, and how often it feels like they have something really important and interesting to say, and the whole idea of inviting them to speak, that it's been really effective. And I found that, I don't know, I think I told you at one point that I was an innkeeper at a bed and breakfast, and there was a woman who was talking and had her husband was there, and she was talking away, and he wasn't saying anything, and I suddenly thought, you know, this guy's got a story. And it turned out that he was a captain on a freighter through the Great Lakes, and he had a fascinating story. But if I hadn't looked at him and thought, you know, this guy's got a story, and I think he's not speaking because he doesn't have the energy there, I wouldn't have invited him to say something and asked him a question. And, you know, it's so, I think that's one of the things that's so interesting about human design, is you're able to then start looking at people and thinking, you know, how could I help this out and find out just really interesting things.
And that's wonderful to share that, Barb, and that's wonderful that you've realized that. And, you know, I encourage any of the defined throats that are out there listening to this, are there open throats that you encounter, or maybe even open throats in your life? You know, especially people that have 3420 channel. That's a very powerful channel. That's the channel that comes up from the sacral and makes a right angle right to the throat. If you have that channel, you have a lot of energy to speak easily, because you have the sacral energy that's just funneling power to talk about what you're doing, what needs to be done, what's going on. And so if you have that channel, there's potential that there are people in your life that are not getting the opportunity to speak because it's so easy for you to. So I'm going to give you a little challenge there. You know, if you have a defined throat, if you have a lot of energy to speak, to do what Barb did, is there somebody in that group? Because as a defined throat, and you will go back to that group setting of the kids in the playground, if a defined throat turns and recognizes one of the undefined throats, you know, what does Peter have to say? They've just given him the invitation. They've given him the floor that, you know, that kid might not have spoken at all because they weren't invited. Or if they did speak, they wouldn't have been heard. But once, you know, it's kind of like the, if you've been in groups where they use the talking feather or the magic stick and pass it around, you know, that's actually one of the things that tool or that prop is trying to get at. It's trying to equalize the playing field between the defined throats and the open throats. And it's not always the defined throat that has more control of the conversation. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I did want to point out on the blog post, again, if you joined us late, go out to loveyourhumandesign.com. And on the right-hand side, click on Peter's blogs, and then click on the Open Throat article. And there's a very short clip in there of probably one of the most flamboyant examples of the open throat, Lucille Ball. From I Love Lucy, you know, it's probably her most famous thing. And I thought of her right away when I was trying to think, who's a person that just was like so flamboyant, over the top flamboyant, that they would draw attention to themselves so they'd be recognized to speak. And you know, I was like Lucille Ball, and of course I ran her chart, and she has an open throat.
Wow.
And you know, and her charts, if you want to scroll down and look at her chart in more detail, but you know, she just has this very flamboyant way about her that drew attention. There's a short little clip there that's just rather entertaining. She's got somebody that speaks a foreign language, and she's trying to tell him what's for dinner, and it's like chicken with rice. And so she basically is doing all her gestures to try to communicate it, but it's demonstrative of really how she acted on the show and probably acted to some degree in real life.
And so was communicating without necessarily using her throat.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, she had the flaming red hair. And I watched a couple of clips to try to find a good one, and most of them, she was always dressed flamboyantly in some manner. She had a scarf. She had, you know, very colorful clothes. Just that attention-grabbing mechanism. Mm-hmm. Another way that the open throat can I've got a question from the web. I was listening from the beginning, but I don't know how to find out if I have an open or closed throat, or open or undefined or defined throat, which is undefined is open, defined or closed is means the same thing. It means you're going to have consistent energy there. If the square in your chart, the rectangle in your chart that's right at the throat area, it's the top rectangle in the chart, if it's colored in, it's brown, you have defined energy there. If it's white, you're open or undefined. And so that's how you can tell that. Another way that the open throat deals with the challenges of not having energy to be heard is to talk nonstop. I'm sure you all know somebody like this. They come in, and from the hello, handshake, or hug, they don't stop. It's from one story to another. It's a narration of what they've done the last week or month or however long it's been since you've seen them. And basically, this is a device to hold the floor, because they're afraid if they pause, if they give up the floor, and this is not consciousness, this is unconscious, that if they stop talking, they won't get the floor back. Barb, do you know anybody like that?
Yeah, I was thinking about a couple of people, actually. I know someone who has every center defined except their throat, and it was very difficult for him. He found it very difficult to be heard. You know, often that whole idea of not being heard, not being recognized, once he got going, there was just no way to stop him. and yet, he, you know, again, someone who I invited to speak at one point and had a very interesting story. But I think I'm thinking of another person who's a reflector who tends to do that, and I think it's quite exhausting, you know, because it's with him in particular being a reflector, trying to keep going. I actually saw him just this past week, and he said we were at a wedding. He said he was really quite tired, and I thought, yeah, that's, you were really pushing that energy. So, yeah.
It's true. It is, if you have an open throat, especially like mine, it's really open. I don't know if you can hear it on the line, but I can feel my voice starting to go hoarse. You know, we've been talking for 40 minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the energy to go for long periods of time. I at times I've taught classes, and so one of the standards was sort of a two-hour class, and I immediately had to go away from that because 2 hours, especially when I was expected to have the, you know, to be on the floor most of the time, I just don't have that energy. And I find in conversations with people, if, you know, they're asking me a series of questions, and, you know, it sort of goes on and on that they're, you know, luckily for me, they're interested in what I have to say, but they keep asking me, you know, oh, tell me more. And again, it's inconsistent. And so for me, what works better, and part of the reason that I have Reverend Rick normally on this show as a as a co-host is because for me, if I'm talking for 5 minutes and I have a couple minutes or 5 minutes rest, that's sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have to go nonstop, it's not sustainable. So these people that we're talking about, that once they grab the floor and they have open throats and they talk nonstop, they actually are running the potential of doing damage to their throat or to the to the design, to the body, because they're putting undue stress on an area that can't consistently handle that much energy.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend that I haven't run his chart yet. I need to get his birth date, but I've got to believe that he's got an open throat. He met a friend of mine and I out for drinks a few months ago. And we sat down, and he launched into a story that lasted over half an hour. And my friend and I started teasing him. You know, he was 25 minutes into the story, and we started teasing him. Does this story ever end? And it was one of those stories that it could have come to the end 3 or 4 times. But, but then he went on to the next piece, and he... You know, I'm guessing he probably also has the storyteller gate, which is gate 11 off the Ajna. And that's an energy that pushes people to really want to include everything about the story, that people won't understand or won't get the full picture if they don't include the rest of the story.
Well, and I guess that's where the communicating and other ways comes in too. That, you know, the idea that you write in it perhaps a different style, or that you communicate with art, or I just was wondering what you do, Peter. I know you're starting to do some different sorts of readings that I think you're going to be taping, and so does that kind of help you then to kind of save that energy and express it, or do you? Is it really about interacting with other people, and, you know, or is it a combination of things? What's most effective for you?
Well, that's a great point, Barb, and I think that there are different strategies. Again, it's going to depend on your design, but in general, people with a a lot of it depends on how defined your throat is or not. So again, if you're looking at the blog post, loveyourhumandesign.com, Peter's blog on the right-hand side there, and the open throat article, if you look at the top, that's actually a blow-up of my throat. There's no energy there, and there's no energy when you have definition at the gates that are at the opposite ends of those lines, those channels.
Hmm.
There's potential to hook up with that energy. And so for me, there's almost no potential to hook up. So for me, I think a better strategy is that I do it in blocks, that, you know, like co-hosting the show with Reverend Rick, that I'm on for 5 minutes and then he's on.
Mm-hmm.
But for other people that have a lot of gates, and a famous example of this is President Bill Clinton. He had a lot of he had an open throat, but he had a lot of gates off of the throat. And so he could talk a lot, but he was hoarse a lot. If you remember back some of his speeches, he would get hoarse, or he would have a hoarse voice off and on. But he had a lot of gates, and so he had the potential when he was with people that pretty much almost anybody he was with, he had a high potential that he would form a channel with them. And you know, essentially what that means is if you have one gate, and I can give you an example off the blog. If you scroll down, and if you look at the chart for Lucille Ball, which is the first chart there, she has three gates off of the throat. So those are the lines that are half lines that are touching the throat there. And she also has three lines off the identity center, which are at the other end of channels. So if anybody has basically can fill in those gaps that she's talking to, she's going to have throat energy, and she's going to be able to talk to them consistently about whatever that channel is connecting there. So just to give you an example, she has the gate 7 off the identity center, but she doesn't have the gate 31 off the throat. If she's talking to somebody that has the gate 31, which I believe Bill Clinton did, she could talk. That's the channel of leadership. So she and Bill Clinton could sit there and talk about leadership and in a consistent way. They'd have sustainable energy for both of them to talk about leadership or things around that topic in a consistent way.
Hmm.
So I think overall, I think there's two or three strategies. When you hook up with someone, they can potentially give you energy, like the example I just gave you. For myself, speaking in blocks of time helps. And then the way we talked about your sister with the writing,
mm-hmm.
and allowing time for that to ferment and then to come out is a third strategy there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to talk about that more, but my throat is getting a little tired, and I thought that this would be a good opportunity to play the throat meditation from my lovely wife, Reverend Nina's CD. The idea of these meditations are to clear those open areas. So all you people that have open throats, and even if you have a defined throat, this should help clear any of the conditioning that you have picked up in your life. So I'd like people, as long as they're not driving or doing something that they need to keep their eyes open or on the road, to take a deep breath in and let it out. And just sit back and relax and just imagine that the conditioning around your throat is melting away, that any energies that you've taken on because of your parents, your significant others, your brothers, your sisters, your teachers, that all that energy that is not yours melts away.
Bring your focus to your throat center. This is your center for putting ideas into motion and also for speaking your truth. This is where everything comes forth into reality through the words that you choose via the choices that you make. Set your intention right now to heal whatever challenges are present and ready to be resolved for your throat center. set your intention to clear out whatever judgments or belief systems you may have developed around your throat, around your ability to speak your truth and to be heard as loving and wise. You are perfect, just as the angels made you. Release those negative beliefs and judgments and breathe as the angels replace them with forgiveness and love. Now spend a moment seeing your throat center as a brilliant source of light and manifestation. Everything you speak now communicates your truth. You are a brilliant communicator and are fully capable of being heard at exactly the right times. Allow your angels of healing and wellness to tune your throat center to your highest vibration of love and light.
And welcome back to Human Design on the Air. Take a deep breath in and let it out. And that was quite rejuvenating for me. I don't know about you, Barb.
It felt great. And you know what? I have to say goodbye because I have to go in. Meet Nina on Living with the Angels because we're doing some archangel readings. So
I know you have to go. Well, thank you for joining me on the show.
Okay, I loved it.
All right.
I'll talk to you
soon.
Bye.
Yep. Bye. And for any of you out there that are interested, we do sell the entire CD of Reverend Nina's. On loveyourhumandesign.com, just go to products, and she walks through all nine centers. So just like today, we're clearing the throat center of conditioned energy. Again, conditioned energy is energy you may have picked up throughout your lifetime, recently or in your childhood or any time. But essentially, conditioned energy is energy that's not yours. It's a way of living a center or a gate or a channel, and you know it's not your energy. And the whole idea behind living your human design is to live the defined energy within your chart consistently, and to utilize the open areas in an inconsistent but gifted way. So anyway, that's out there as an option. Before we went to the meditation, Barb and I were talking about different ways that the open throat could express itself. And as I was preparing the article for yesterday on my blog post, again at loveyourhumandesign.com, click on the right side, Peter's blog, and then click on the open throat article. As I was preparing this, I had remembered that I had done a little research on the singer Sarah McLachlan, who probably most famous for singing the song Angel, In the Arms of the Angel. And she has an open throat. And so as I was researching this, I was looking and I looked at, I was reading in Richard Rudd's book. Richard Rudd has written several things for human design, but his most recent work is called Gene Keys, and it ties the genetics of our genes to the gates of the Chinese I Ching, which is, those are the 64 numbers within the human design chart that you're looking at if you have your chart, or looking at if you're looking at the blog post. And so in that, he describes this one gate, the gate 33, and he talks about how that energy is about remembering our past. And here we're talking about past lives, past energies that we have been in before we've been in this body. And that gate 33 is about forgetting, and but also remembering, bringing forward that knowledge that we have inside. I'm sure you've all experienced that you know something without ever having learned it. And whether you call that past lives or past remembering, or there's other ways to describe it. But that energy is about remembering. So I was looking at Sarah McLachlan's chart, and again, she has an open throat. But she does have one gate off her throat, and it's the gate 33, about remembering. That's going to have consistent energy for her about remembering and being mindful of the past lives. Well, Sarah McLachlan wrote and performed, as you may know if you're familiar with her work, a song, I Will Remember You. And so I was looking at the lyrics, and I posted the video there if you've gone out to my blog. But I was looking at the lyrics, and it was uncanny and eerie in a way. Her lyrics say, I'm so tired I can't sleep, standing on the edge of something much too deep. It's funny how we feel so much, but we cannot say a word. We are screaming inside, but we can't be heard. I will remember you. Will you remember me? Don't let your life pass you by. Weep not for the memories. I mean, to me, here is a song she's singing. Her one gate, her one defined energy is talking about remembering. And I think here, you can take the song that she's singing about somebody else, but I think she's also singing about remembering herself, remembering her soul, remembering her past lives, that her soul, her past experience, that her soul has brought forward into this life. And she talks about the open throat. We are screaming inside, but we can't be heard. This is such a perfect example to me of open energy and defined energy coming out into expression in a beautiful and unlimited way. And if you haven't heard this song before, I urge you to take a look at the video, and if you're like me, you'll probably get chills about, you know, this is channeled material. This song that she pours out, is just channeled energy, channeled through her beautiful design. And so, again, that sort of ties in how another way where the open throat, that this energy through the songwriting, this energy really comes up. And again, I was listening to a bunch of Sarah McLachlan, and some of the what I was listening to was her talking about how she wrote different songs. And she was talking about how some of them come very easy, and she writes them in a couple of hours, and some of them are much more difficult and take longer to come together. And again, this is another characteristic of the open throat, that sometimes there's going to be the energy is just all going to come together and come gushing out in her writing of the song, and other times it's going to be inconsistent, that it's really going to have to work its way through, and potentially with her open throat, those songs that are taking her longer to write may be more about her encounters with different people and bringing that energy together to come out the throat. So I'd like to wrap this up here because my open throat is getting a bit tired. If you have any questions in the next couple minutes, call in at 347-426-3457 or on the chat line. Just post your chat board, post your questions out there. But again, in summary about the open throat, it's a beautiful gift. It can be challenging at times, because we can struggle to be heard. We can struggle to get the floor when we're in group settings. The strategy around that is the strategy of your strategy. If you're a manifester, you need to inform. If you're a generator, a manifesting generator, you need to be responding. If you're a projector, you need to be invited. And like I pointed out earlier, a lot of the energy around the throat, around expression, needs to be invited, to be fully recognized, to be fully recognized, to have that deep recognition, and to get the value. I mean, the singing performers, there's a fair number of singing performers out there that have open throats. And when they're recognized, when you have their full attention, in a way there's a kind of magic that goes on there, because you get them in a much deeper way, I think, or can get them in a much deeper way. That's not to say that the defined throats don't have deep things to say, but they're going to be more consistent about it. And so maybe that consistency, we don't quite get the magic that inconsistency brings. It's more like that shooting star, something that comes together once in a while, as opposed to always the planets that are always there, or some of the, or, you know, our stars, like the North Star or wherever you are, there's a consistent star that's there. And it is just as brilliant, but it doesn't quite carry the magic that shooting star has. Again, there's going to be different expressions that, or methods that the open throat is going to try to talk endlessly, or the open throat is going to be flamboyant to gain the floor. And now that you know this, if it's within yourself, can you get as much recognition without going to extremes? And if you're a defined throat, can you give that person recognition, so they don't have to expend the energy on all the flamboyance, but can expend it on the message that they're trying to give you? And sometimes that message may be in that flamboyance. And then again, for the open throat, just like we were talking about the writer, the singer, sometimes that energy needs to coalesce, and it's just not on the spot. It's just not in the moment, that it's going to come through time. You know, and that's part of what, in that group setting that I was talking about, that the open throat's not necessarily recognized right away. I think that's part of that that's built in there. Because what that's doing is it's letting the open throat get their full expression going before they add that, before they participate. Now, a question out from coming in from the chat board about their husband is a mumbler. And is that, does that indicate open or defined, or open or closed? I could see it going either way. On the one hand, it could be open in that there's not enough energy getting there to fully get the thought process out. So I would tend to side probably with the open if I had to. You're putting me on the spot here with an open throat, but if I was put on the spot with an open throat, I'd say mumbling probably is more open, more likely to be open. But there could be other reasons that it's closed, and it could also be, like we were doing the meditation, it could be conditioning. You know, one reason somebody might mumble is because they may have been conditioned that they were put down for what they said, for example. Or they were made to feel bad about what they said. And so mumbling is a defense of that. If you're not fully understood, then it's hard to put that person down. But it definitely could be an open throat. It'd be interesting to see. So I'd encourage you, if you want, sign up for a free chart for him. I'd be happy to send that out to you. Just go out to my website, loveyourhumandesign.com, and click on the free chart link. Well, if we don't have any other further questions, and it looks like we don't, what I'd like to do is just tell you quickly about the show for next week. Next week, we are doing a show on, I'm just double checking here, Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern. And yes, we're doing a show on the open spleen. Open spleen. The spleen is all about time. The spleen is called the washing machine of the immune system. And so the open spleen is another fascinating center. People that have an open spleen, some of the things that happen to them is that they lose track of time, and they can spend an hour and they only think it's 5 minutes. People with an open spleen can be challenged by time. It's about being in the moment. But that's not necessarily about watching the clock. So they can have challenges about being on time in that they can be early, they can be late, they lose track of time. And the open spleen is also, as I said, connected to the immune system. So we'll talk a lot about the immune system and how the open spleen factors into that. So that show is next Saturday, October 30th at 11 a.m. Eastern. Then we're going to have a week off, and then we'll have a show on the open solar plexus. It's about being emotional or not. Solar plexus is all about emotions. That show's on Saturday, November 13th. And I just wanted to also give a plug for on November 15th, Monday, November 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be doing an interview with Chetan Parkin. And Chetan has been working with Human Design. He studied with Ra Uruhu, the founder of Human Design, back in 1993. So Chetan has been involved in the field for a long time, and I'm not quite sure what we're going to do the show on, but I'm really excited that he's agreed to be on the show. Chetan has about a 300-page book on just all the different aspects of human design. And you can find his information out on Human Design for Us All. But again, so that's our lineup coming up. And there was one other question on the website before we close out here. Can the throat definitions change over time? And the answer to that is really no. There is one exception. Essentially, your design is the design you have from birth on. The one exception is a true near-death experience where, you actually reach the state of being dead. The soul leaves the soul. I don't know that I'd say detaches from the body, but the soul is in a quandary about whether to stay with the body or not. So a near-death experience, but then you come back to life. That can change your design. What happens to most people, and I think this is where people wonder if their design changes, is that we become conditioned. You know, from the moment we're born, we're conditioned by other people's energies, our parents, friends, schools, and we're conditioned mostly in our open areas. And so we pick up that conditioning. And an example that I've given before is that I lived with my brother for my high school years, and he had a defined ajna. And I have an open ajna. It's undefined, and the channels around it are undefined. And I really picked up some of his way of thinking, his way of processing information, all those different, his way of remembering things. I was being conditioned by that energy. Well, once I got, and that's what I knew, because, you know, that started at age 13. And then once I went to college and I got out of his energy and I started to decondition from that energy, for me it was like my design changed. That, you know, my ajna started processing differently. So usually I think when most people experience things that they would consider that their design has changed, it's that they're deconditioning or potentially being conditioned, that they've made some kind of life change. Maybe they've gotten married, and now they're living, you know, using my example, now they're living with a spouse with a defined ajna. And so they're picking up some of that energy. So that's, I think, when most people feel like they've had a design change. And I would be willing to bet that if most of us went and we spent 6 months or a year living in a cabin in the woods, you know, but we were still in touch, so that that the experience was more about deconditioning our energy as opposed to meditating and being in that kind of environment, that we would feel some major changes, because we're constantly being conditioned in our open areas. And that's really the point of understanding your design, is that you can understand where you're defined and where you're not. And if you're living in areas where you're not defined, then you can let go of that and start living your definition, because really we're here to live our definition. We're here to have the experience of living our definition. And through doing that, that's the way that we're going to go with our flow, and we're going to meet the people that we're supposed to meet, and we're going to have the experiences that we're supposed to have. That's what living your design is all about. So that wraps it up for the show on the Open Throat. I'd like to thank you all for being here, wherever you are. I wish you a wonderful day. And again, if you don't have your chart, go out to loveyourhumandesign.com and put in your information, get your free chart over there on the right side, and I'll get your chart out to you with a brief introduction, and you can start your journey. Have a pleasant day. Thank you.